I'll be reading James 3, 1 through 12, Taming the Tongue. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the mouth comes the praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word.
Amen. Let me start. Okay. Well, the title is, The Tongue is Small, But It is Deadly. And probably everyone in this room realizes that this is really true. We know that the tongue is deadly. And if you think about it, the number of lives that has, you know, that have been ruined by someone who said something that was untrue. And what do you do if you heard something about yourself? And then you might go back. You might go to the person and talk to them about what you heard. And it can be resolved. But basically, we know this tiny, tiny tongue, this organ we have, has contributed to many problems. Any one of us might have been a victim at one time of someone who told a lie on us. And I realize also, if you think about your job, and we know a lot of negative things happen there, and someone might have said something that's not true, or they should not have said. Because sometimes something is true, but you don't need to say it because it's true, you know. And I think about the many people, really, it's many people that have suffered, you know, have gone into depression, anxiety disorders, just have various problems because someone said something negative about them or something that was not true about them. So we just have to guard our tongue. As I said before, the tongue is small, but it is truly deadly. But it has a lot of power. It's small, but it has a lot of power. And looking at James 3, 1 through 12, and Chloe just read that, and I thank you, Chloe, for reading that. But here I go again. And I want to start with verse 3. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Let's think something really tiny. And you know the size of a horse or a mule or whatever, and to be able to turn that whole body around, you know, with the bits. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered. I know something happened. Okay. They are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. And we look at ships, and many people have been on cruises, so you see the size of those ships. And just think, you got a little small item or whatever you want to call it there that is able to direct this ship in the way the captain wants it to go. And in verse 5, it says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. And you know, if you think about this and make a comparison, look at the fires they have out in California. And it didn't start with a huge blaze. It could have been someone, you know, there are people who like to see fires, and some of those fires have been set by those people. But it could be just a tiny spark, or maybe somebody was smoking a cigarette through it into the branches of the grass or whatever. And eventually it started out really tiny, and it gets bigger, bigger, and bigger. And right now they're still fighting fires out there. And if you think about the tongue at this point, how certain things can be said, maybe something to you inconsequential. But the thing about it, it can start out as a tiny thing, and it can just spread. And maybe you know examples of things like this, started out really tiny, and it spread. In verse 6, the tongue is also a fire, a whirl of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of life on fire, and is set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. And we do. And I think I mentioned this, might have mentioned this once before. There was a man, this is like years ago. There was this man that lived in the same building that we lived in, and he was he really was an alcoholic, I think. And he would just cuss God. He would say awful things all the time. And the thing you think about, so, oh, but at that time, with the age I was at that particular time, you know, think, oh, that man, he might fall dead. You know, God may kill him. And it's wonder how he had the courage to be saying all those negative things about God. But God didn't strike him down. I assure you how merciful he is to all of us. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. And that's true. We'll praise God and say how good he is and all the things he has done for us. And then on the other hand, it may be something else about someone else, about a brethren or whatever the case may be. So it says here, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? And we know the answer to this. The answer is no. My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. And there's no way you can imagine one water fountain, source of water, and you got fresh water coming out of that same source and salt water. It's one or the other. It cannot be mixed, you know. If you think about the tongue, we have an amazing potential for good. We we could do good. Let's think of all the good if we said all of the good things, you know, and kept always speaking God's word on a regular basis to whoever, you know. Instead of thinking about something negative, to think we can praise God. We can share the gospel with this person who is not even, you know, maybe we need to reach out to. And we could use our tongue for such great things, really, helpful things. And many of us probably do just that. We do just that. The one thing, and I'm not going to stay on gossip. I really am not. Gossip is, we all know the harm does. This goes in and out, I can tell. But I'm not going to spend any time on this, since all of us are aware of gossip, and all of us are aware that we shouldn't gossip, right? Okay. I think about the damage that is done by the tongue. And maybe we could identify with something and someone that we know we might have said something about, and then you think about it later on, oh, why did I say that? I shouldn't have said that, you know. You kind of repent of that. And which we should repent of that. And if you think about an example of what can happen when you say the wrong thing and can really hurt someone, and I'm thinking about some of our children who are in school, and the children are being bullied, and we know this is a huge problem in the school system. And not only that, it's not only children but adults. They get on a computer and they also do the same thing. But it starts out, you know, that child, I don't like that person over there, but thinking about, well, that person there, that 6-year-old, 9-year-old child, and then this other kind of like a troublemaker, he began saying things against that child. And anyway, it goes on and on, and he started bullying that person. And when the kids are bullied, they don't really want to go to school because they know how their day will be. They and the school system haven't learned either exactly how to deal with this particular problem, but it comes from saying things with the tongue that is not true. But the person who hears it, the child who hears it, they look at it as something that is true. At times, I'm thinking about some of the times when we are tempted to say something. And when I say you, I mean just people in general, okay? We think about saying something. And what happens, we have, you know who we have sitting on the shoulder, right? Satan is there, Satan. And he whispers, you know, try to encourage you to do this. And he's always there to encourage you. Whatever is wrong, he's always there to encourage you to do it, you know. But the good part, we don't have to do it. We don't have to allow Satan to cause us to sin against God, to make somebody else's life miserable. So, won't you just take that devil and knock him off the show? Don't listen, do not listen. Because we know that Satan is the father of lies. And think about Eve in the Garden of Eden. And Satan approaches her and tell her to eat off the tree. But before that, God has instructed her, said, no, you can eat off this. If you think about it, all of the trees, numerous trees in the garden, and God only told them the two trees in the middle, you know, the tree of life and the tree of good and evil, of knowledge. So he just said, do not eat off this particular tree. But they didn't listen. She didn't listen. And Satan took advantage of that. So what he did, God said, this, that you shouldn't do that. But then he planted something in her mind. I mean, this would be really good for you. Let's think how wise you will be if you eat off this particular tree. So what did she do? She listened to Satan rather than listening to God. And that is one of the things that will get us in trouble if we listen to Satan instead of listening to God. In Ephesians 4:25, it says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. And that is true. One of the examples I would like to use is Joseph. When Joseph was in Egypt, and you know, the reason he was there, well, you know the story about what his brothers did, and he ended up with Potiphar. But God blessed Potiphar, and he blessed him because of Joseph. And the other part of it is that he realized that he was being blessed because of God. So the wife set her eyes on Joseph and decided, well, this is this man I want to have this relationship with, right? And it tells of one example of what she did, but I have a picture that says, yes, she's been watching him for some time. It wasn't that one day, you know, on and on, so one day she just got the courage. Get him. And Joseph decided, when she brought it to his attention, what her intentions were. And after Joseph, I mean, Joseph was, he was really wanting and put forth the effort to obey God. And he knew this was against God. He knew that this was definitely a sin. And trying to get away, which is what some of you men have to do, trying to get away from this particular lady. And you know about, he left his garment there. And anyway, and she just held on to it, just waiting for her husband. Because she was really so upset that the fact that he didn't, you know. So when he comes home, what happens? That's what she did. I heard somebody say lied. Okay, that's what she did. She lied on Joseph. And I think about the fact that he was falsely accused. You know, how would you feel if somebody brought a serious charge against you and you know it wasn't true? And he knew it was not true. And a question that I did have later on, I kept thinking, was that time that Potiphar realized his wife wasn't telling the truth? But anyway, that's what happened at the time. After Potiphar His wife said what he did. And another, anyway, he fled the house, and Joseph fled the house, you know. And he eventually ended up in jail. But let's take a look at Potiphar, who was angry. He had to be. I mean, this is his wife, and he totally trusted Joseph. And Potiphar had to be angry. He had to have hurt feelings being betrayed by somebody he totally believed in, that's Joseph. But another thought comes to mind. Deep down, he probably did not want to put Joseph in prison. I really think that he might not have, you know, but what can you do? He realized that he was because of Joseph. But his pride got in the way. But how could he, being in his position, allow something of this magnitude to happen to his wife, and he allows, and he doesn't do anything. So he felt compelled to do something. But after putting Joseph in jail, you know what happened? That Joseph became a ruler over Egypt. Now, let's look some years back. Up the road, I should say, because the first 7 years were years of prosperity, and then you had the 7 lean years. So let's look at Potiphar during the time of the lean years. He had to humble himself, right? Because Joseph was the only person who could give food to those in Egypt who had no food. So he had to humble himself because he didn't want to die, and his wife as well, both of them, to humble themselves and to go to Joseph to get food. That was the only source of food. So the thing about it is that sometimes we let the tongue take control of us and we say things. But you never know. In this situation here, Potiphar, his wife, did not realize that one day they're going to have to go back to Joseph. And sometimes that's what happens to us, you know. We may, very person that you have this negative thought about or whatever the case is, may be the person you have to go to one day, you know. Because no one could have told Potiphar or his wife that, look, one day Joseph would be the ruler in this country. And your life would depend on him giving you food. And if you think about it, during that time, they gave up everything they had. You know, one by one, okay, I give you my animals, I give you my house, I give you my land, until the point the Pharaoh had everything, whatever a person had. So that would include Potiphar. And sometimes I think about, well, how he had to feel, you know? I did this to this man, and now, first of all, I'm thinking maybe he was afraid because of what he had done, and then you hear Joseph is now the ruler of Egypt. So it had to be some concern, some concerns there. And the thing about it is that what we do, and as the scripture says, we absolutely have no control. We can't tame the tongue. You tame all the other things, but not the tongue. And that's really true. Because it takes more than just this willpower. You know, you say, well, you have determined that you are not going to allow your tongue to create problems for you or anyone else. And this may be true. I mean, this is a strong decision you have made. But it takes more than that for you to stop. You know how you do something so you stop for a while and then, let me see, you end up. In order for us to have any control over our tongue, we have to have the help of God, the help of Jesus Christ, in order to do it. But I still keep in mind what Mr. Hill has said when he gave his testimonies, which is excellent, very good. You can really do that. One of the things, looking at that clock by there, we cannot control our tongue by just self-will. You need the help of God to do that. And it's 1 Peter 3:8, 10, 12, and 16. I think I gave him something wrong. Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, keeping a clear conscience. So that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. So we are to conduct. In a certain way, in a way that is pleasing to God, to use our tongue for good. Because if we can use our tongue for anything else, we can use our tongues for good. And this is what we need to do, or need to practice, or work on a regular basis, on a daily basis, being mindful of what it is that we say, what it is that we do. And I won't, as I said before, I won't mention nothing about any gossip, but I might have heard that. But whatever we do or whatever we say, really, we know that we are accountable. And we're always accountable to God for whatever we do. Whenever we do it, however we do it, we're accountable to God. And we know that God wants the best for all of us. We know that God really loves all of us. And we know that the tongue has a lot of power. So we have to work on controlling what we say and make sure it is something godly, something that is pleasing to God. And we can do this. With God's help, we can do this. Okay. I'm going to pray. Okay, let's pray. And Father who are in heaven, Almighty God, I just thank you for your help, for your blessings, your guidance, and for your direction. And we know that the tongue has power. We know the trouble, eternal Father, that we can get into when we use it in a wrong way. So I pray that you will help us to use it for good, to use the power that you have given us, eternal Father, and to speak good to one another, to have the love for one another that we should have, eternal Father. And when we love one another, we are not out to make them feel bad or cause them to be depressed or whatever the tongue may put in there might say that you don't want there, or that may hurt someone. So we want to love each other and to be very, very mindful of what we say, Eternal Father, and the power that you have placed in the tongue, Eternal Father, to use that for good, to use it for the good of each other, to use it for our own good. And Father in heaven, let's strengthen us. Please help us to do the best that we can and to call on you when we need to control any negative things we want to say or might say. And I just pray this and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.